The so-called long-playing record was introduced to the culture just 70 years ago this summer, 1948, with this recording of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto featuring Nathan Milstein. It's hard to overstate the impact LPs had for the subsequent 30 years or so on music lovers, who could suddenly listen to long, uninterrupted tracks, about 22 minutes on a side. The discs often outfitted in an artful jacket with ample supporting written material. But not every record fan turned out like Hal Willner. Willner became a record producer himself and is still connected decades later to all the sounds that, when he was first soaking them up, seemed to change his life on a regular basis.
You gentlemen who think you have a mission.
He was listening to music by Kurt Weill.
Purge us of the seven deadly sins.
Music by Nino Rota for movies by Fellini. Disney songs. Jazz by people like Monk and Mingus. As well as more ambitious records that told a kind of audio story.
All those records in the 60s, like the White Album, Sketches of Spain, Satanic Majesties, where they were kind of variety shows on record.
The variety show mentality has been a guiding principle for Willner.
That's how I grew up and loved records. And so I was trying to create that. I mean, it's probably naive of me to think that people will understand them that way. Some do.
Yes, many definitely do love and admire his recorded slant on things.
I mean, they've been cult. None of them have ever sold a lot.
The series of records he's been known for have been referred to as tribute records, but they defy category. He's been creating them alongside his other job as the czar of all sketch music at Saturday Night Live, going back to 1981 when he was starting out.
I was 24 years old and driving a cab in the daytime because there was no record business job before that that worked out.
Willner had fallen in love with Fellini films years before. And in particular, as he was watching them, he listened to the vivid music by Nino Rota that ran through those movies. The Oscar-winning Rota became known for his celebrated Godfather scores, but he also had to his credit a series of phenomenal scores for classic Italian films.
In high school, I had a friend who was obsessed with Fellini Satyricon. And that was the first Fellini film I ever saw. And that soundtrack was full of monkey chants, old field recordings. I just love this music. You know, you put those soundtracks on, and it completely changes the atmosphere of the room. And then Solistrata, which had that the most beautiful melody ever.
At first, he thought of having just one person or group interpret Rota's music, but it evolved into something else.
I don't even know where it came from, but I thought, let's record a lot of different artists doing this music.
With people like David Amram and Friends, for example, doing personal interpretations.
That's where that started.
At that point, if he was going to play games with the music, he figured he'd have to get a good deal from somebody to use it. Why not the great Federico Fellini himself?
So as a kid, I just sent a registered letter to Fellini, and I got a letter back from him directly with a phone number to call when I'm in Rome to play him the record, which for a 24-year-old, I mean, who idolized this man. You know, I looked at this letter for 3 days and I made a point to go to Italy to find him.
They met in Fellini's office.
This was 1980. The Walkman had just come out. So I'm sitting there with a Walkman and with his little headphones on and playing this record.
So our producer, Willner, had an unforgettable trip to Rome behind him. And ultimately, a record release that got a lot of attention, with some music stars reimagining Rota's music. including Carla Bley's take on the music from Eight and a Half. Over the next few years, Wilner built on the idea. He did a Thelonious Monk album. With the group NRBQ, among many others. And he dug into the repertoire of Kurt Weill.
When I was a young man, courting the girls.
He thought of Lou Reed for Weill's September song.
I played me a waiting game.
Lou Reed made every song sound like a Lou Reed song. And that was very cool.
I let that old earth take a couple of whirls.
With the intensity of re-envisioning Kurt Weill and Nina Rota and Monk, he knew he needed a break. His idea of a break.
I looked up at my record shelves and saw this box set, The Magic of Disney. I went, that could be serious fun. Because it was a love-hate relationship with that music.
And so it went.
So I got to make this incredibly surreal journey.
Zippity-doo-dah!
Let's just say the Disney organization didn't appreciate it.
Maybe they didn't appreciate it because it couldn't be easily dismissed. In any case, Hal Wilner's whole career has been a bit of a surreal journey, starting decades ago in Fellini's office, getting a deal for the music for his first record, Amarcord, Nino Rota, which is now due for re-release.
I think it's probably my best record because I didn't know what I was doing at the time and just went totally on instinct. You know, now I know too much, so.
The man who knows too much will nevertheless keep listening. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.